This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, I have to pick myself up. Stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up, stand up for the champions, for the champions.
Stand up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber, and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking. But most of all, most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow families in all its shapes and sizes. Now, tonight's a pretty big night for Joy 94.9. We are playing on Hide and Seek from 9 p.m, the World First and Joy First 8, the radio play. Now, it is a huge honour to have been given the opportunity to have it produced by Joy, and it has been something that's been put together entirely by volunteers and performed by volunteers. So the first thing, we're going to be chatting about marriage from a GLBTI perspective tonight. So I've got quite a few guests. The first thing I wanted to do is introduce you to Stephen Barber. He is the director of 8, the radio play. He's going to give us a little bit of a chat, but it's going to be real quick, Stephen. You've got about five, and this is about the only time, for those of you that don't know, that's my husband. So this is the very, I don't often get an opportunity to tell him to hurry up. So you've got 5 minutes, Stephen. Tell us a little bit about 8, the radio play. Joy.
Okay. Obviously, 8, the play was done as a stage play initially, written by Dustin Lance Black and produced by Broadway Impact. We were lucky enough to actually do it for Midsummer 2013. Our relationship with Broadway Impact has been such that they've held us in high stead, I guess you would say. I was approached by RV Miller at Joy 94.9 and asked if I'd be interested in actually producing and directing 8, the radio play. Obviously, to make a play work for radio, you've got to rework it and you've got to actually sound engineer it and take, I guess, continuity into consideration and give people idea of setting the scene.
Because there's no visual, obviously, because it's radio. So how hard is that to get people to be engaged and how to make really, really interesting, because all they do is listening to voices? How do we do that? How do you do that?
Yeah, look, I was blessed with the amount of people who actually applied to be in the play itself. 21 plus a voiceover person who all dedicated their time and really worked hard at actually creating a quality production.
Did they have to audition?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like any other play, we put them through an audition process. I actually gave them directorial notes and got them to, work what they were dealing with. It's difficult if you're not an actor to interpret what you're reading.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge in itself. Worked with a very talented young guy by the name of Kyle Evans, who's a sound engineer. What he has done with this play, I assure the listening audience that you are going to be amazed at what's been created.
I am so excited to be part of something that is groundbreaking, that is, for something to be done. First, this is in the world. Nobody's ever done. This is really, really amazing. And I think we will, when we hear it, we're all going to be extremely proud. And I know that that word gets used quite often. At Joy, we're proud of lots of different things. This is amazing, and it's something for us to be extremely proud of. I hope everyone listens in. It's going to be on Hide and Seek from 9 p.m. And Stephen, I'm wondering, what has there been anything that's kind of surprised you a little bit in this process?
I would have to say the dedication and the hard work of the volunteers, the amazing support by the management and staff here at Joy 94.9 have been incredible. Mm. Also, Broadway Impact, Dustin Lance Black. It's not very often an author will say to you, yeah, go ahead and rewrite my script.
And they've retweeted, and I brought, they're, I believe that they're going to be listening in New York live,
yes,
to the broadcast in New York. So that's really amazing as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Want to thank you for putting in, I know, a lot of time that you have put in, and it's been another steep learning curve for a lot of people at Joy. It's also given them opportunities to be part of something that they wouldn't also, otherwise have been part of either.
Yep.
So I want to thank you. You've got a bit of setting up to do, I know, for before the broadcast. I want to thank you very much for the time and your dedication. And you've nurtured a few people along the way, I know, that were pushed out of their comfort zones, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And it has. It's been a whole fun experience. And I think it will it'll go on touching people, you know, for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you so much. And you did that within 5 minutes, I think.
First time I've ever done what you've told me, Michelle. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve. And so I have got a theme tonight. Obviously, it's going to be about marriage. But what I'm going to do is have three people join me at the desk, which have three quite different perspectives on marriage and three different experiences on marriage. One of the things I wanted to say before I introduce them, I've been married for a very, very long time, 28 years nearly. Now, the reason I say that is that I have never, ever, ever had to think about whether I could or couldn't, should I or shouldn't I. I just could. And I think I had that thought today myself that I never, ever had to think about it. It was just something I could do or not do. It was never, ever an issue for me. I just want to say that out there. So with that said, I am joined by Jonathan Duffy, Katie Lawson, and Mark Haddon. So welcome to the big blue desk.
Thank you very much.
So the reason, as I said, I wanted to get a real mix and broad cross-section of people in here. So Katie, I was going to start with you. So what's the reason I've got you in here tonight?
Oh, well, if you're a regular listener at Joy, you probably have heard my name before, not because I'm any kind of celebrity, but I'm Jade Gulliver's other half from Different Strokes, mm-hmm, and Hand Claps and Harmonies. So I would be in big trouble if I didn't promote her shows on the on the show tonight.
Yeah. You would. And you went over to America.
I did, yes.
And got married.
Yep. If you do listen to any of Jade's material, she's always talking about how she is one half of a binational same-sex relationship. So she does have a love-hate relationship with America. But, you know, she found me, and hopefully I represent the U.S., In an okay way.
Yeah. You do. I would just want to ask a couple of questions about, did you ever consider staying here and just waiting until Australia wised up and legalized marriage?
Well, actually, it hadn't been on our radar for very long, marriage. I think, like maybe a lot of people out there, we took that perspective that we didn't need a legal institution to tell us that our relationship was worthy or not. So I would say that my thinking on it has shifted quite a bit, because obviously I am legally married in the United States. So no, we really didn't think about waiting for Australia to pass anything. You know, people joked around with us that we could go to New Zealand, but, you know, when you weigh up, you know, New York City marriage or going to New Zealand, you kind of stick with New York City.
Yeah.
So, no, we didn't. But like I said, it really hadn't been on our radar for very long, maybe a year ago.
So, Jonathan, you are, amongst many things, a filmmaker, and you produce a film monthly about marriage, but not just one type of... A whole broad cross-section of marriages,
It's an online, I guess you call it online TV series called The Meaning of Marriage. And it's a project that could last a year. It could last 12 years. Who knows? But basically it's releasing one episode a month of this show that is attempting to explore what does marriage actually mean to modern Australia. So in all its forms, so for, you know, people in same-sex relationships, for people in, you know, opposite-sex relationships, trans people, people in polyamorous relationships, what does it actually mean, this word that a lot of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex questioning people have been fighting for. And for me as a filmmaker, myself and my co-writer and producer started making it because we were just kind of going, what does it actually mean to us? You know, is this something a lot of people are asking for? But what will change? What is it actually all about? So
I want to delve into that a little bit more, but I want to... put Mark out of his misery and let him actually speak. So, Mark, welcome.
That's all right. I'm fine.
I know you're on Joy as well. You have a program here on Joy.
I do quite a lot of Joy at the moment.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a new kid on the block, but I've got my own show on Monday nights, which is The Woods, which celebrates the bear community. So I'm a bear, obviously. You actually got me my first gig on Joy, Michelle. You introduced me to Colin Armstrong on Aesthetica, and I panel for him.
That's right.
I also do a 1 to 4 afternoon slot on Wednesdays.
You're taking over Joy.
I know. And I do admin for Tuesday Cheek with Wes and Scott.
Wow.
So, and I do outside broadcasts, and I also did 8 the Play.
That was going to be my next question, because that's another link that we've got here. So you're one of the 22 volunteers that are actually on air in the production.
That's right.
So what do you do?
I'm the narrator. So my part of the bit, actually when we first started the project, my part was reasonably small. But over the project, it grew because obviously being a radio play, a more description was needed to set up scenes than being a visual play. So my part actually did grow quite a lot. And in fact, I'll be the first person you hear and the last person you hear on the... So very excited about the New York people listening as well. It's amazing.
It is. I don't think we probably will have any idea how many people are actually listening. Hopefully millions and millions. So tell me, as with your involvement, were you nervous about being involved at all?
I was excited. I don't think I was nervous. I was excited. I mean, it was just when I saw the notice come through for Joy volunteers to get involved, I was in the studio that day recording my audition tape because it was just one of those iconic plays. I'd heard about it before. Dustin Lance Black, who wrote Milk. I had to be involved. And when I got the email saying I was like elated. Yeah. It was great.
Did you also feel perhaps a little bit of a sense of wanting to make a little bit of a difference about being part of something big?
Definitely. You know, marriage equality, I think, is, you know, one of the issues that they're, you know, today. I can't believe this country just hasn't got its act together and hasn't got this sorted yet. Incredible.
And we're nodding in varying degrees. So, I mean, I'm not going to get all political, and it's not my nature, but, I mean, what is it, do you think, that is at the real core of the what is the real reason, do you think, if there is one, of why?
Of why? It's that conservatism of the current government. I actually think if they just allowed a conscience vote, I'd really like to see what would happen, because I think, I don't know if there'd be enough people who would actually vote on the Liberal side of politics to get it passed. I really don't. but I would really like to see how close it was. And from there, I think it wouldn't be long before we did get equality.
Mm. Do you think that people, this is a question for all of us, really, do you think most people don't really care one way or the other? It's not that they don't care. It's just, hey, no big deal. I don't get it. Why? Do you think people kind of have that in Australia, that sort of mindset?
Do you mean the majority of people?
Yes, I do.
In my experience, and I lived in central Queensland for quite a long time, in my experience, I find that a lot of heterosexual people still don't really know we can't get married.
Really?
And that's a question I get asked all the time. Like
I just assume.
I've got a day job, and at the last election, there's four of us in the office, and we were talking about voting ideas and options, and there was one particular office staff member who ended up in a big debate with another one because she was going to vote for the Liberal government because that's what her family always did. Mm. And she had no idea that a lot of their policy platforms and ideals opposed someone sitting behind her's rights. So,
gosh.
Yeah, and it, when I was in the country, it happened all the time too. Like people go, didn't something happen? Didn't you do a march and they gave you what you wanted?
Yeah. So I actually hadn't realised that. I just thought that most people knew that you couldn't.
But we also live in a. I think it's important to understand that we live in a society where what we see as news is completely drip fed through advertising, but also through what we're interested in. Your Facebook news feed and everyone else in this room is completely geared to stuff that you're actually interested in. So you probably don't know much. You know, if you're not interested in how the Euro's going in Germany, you're not going to know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if you're a heterosexual woman who's 35, ironing her as your panelist Matt is, like ironing your kids' shirts for school on a Sunday night, you're probably not. It's not your fault that you don't know about the rights of gay and lesbian people because it doesn't immediately affect you.
Mm. And that's the difference, I think, is that once it's on your radar, you can't remove it.
Yeah.
And I think that this is where not just shows like this or Joy, it's about talking about what the GLBTI community don't have out in the broader community, in your workplace, and talking to your not so much your friends and family because they know, but out wherever you can. It's about broadening. It's about making people aware of what we haven't got for our family and our friends and our loved ones, you know. And I think that we need to be a lot more vocal because people just assume that it's okay. People assume that it's allowed. So maybe it's about also challenging people's thinking as well, do you think?
Yeah, I do think it's about challenging people's thinking. As you said, my friends, my straight friends would know because they're involved with me and I tell them and they're part of my life. So, but you're right, it's the people that live out in the middle of the country and they're not interested in gay rights, unless it comes up at something like a church or, you know, maybe something, someone opposing it. All my friends would know that I can't get married at the moment.
Sorry, Katie.
Oh, I was just going to say that I've noticed that culturally in Australia, it's more, or I sense that it's more of a, yeah, whatever, if they want it, they can have it. Whereas in the US, it's much more polarizing, and that comes from a political and a religious, you know, standpoint.
Mm.
So you go back home and you know where people stand automatically in most cases. But here, there's that general, you know, not apathy, but just they just kind of sit and they're not bothered one way or the other.
I think there's a little bit of secrecy around it too, in that I've personally experienced people who are opposed to marriage equality but would not admit that to me until they were absolutely drunk one night.
Wow.
And it was simply out of a case that they felt very strongly against it but were ashamed of the fact because, and in you know, paraphrase words, I'm not supposed to feel that way but I do.
So we might come back after the break and have a bit of a chat about what our family and friends feel about marriage in relation to their GLBTI significant others. You are with Mark, Katie, Jono and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. It's Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 on this huge evening for Joy, where we are broadcasting the very first Eight the Radio Play on as part of Hide and Seek from 9 p.m. tonight. We have had a message that's come in from Dean, and it says, give us a break. Labor was in for how many years? Yet we didn't get equal marriage. So don't point to just current government. The issue is that religious organisations finance both parties and that money comes with strings. I think we fired some people up, have we not, John?
We have. Isn't that great?
Yes, great.
It is. It is. I think that that comment may have been in response to when I mentioned someone I work in an office with and a debate that happened about them voting for the current government. I feel a need to point out I don't have any particular political allegiances, and I think Dean raises a really interesting point in that it kind of ties in with Eight, the play this mm-hmm. evening. In obviously it's explored in Eight, but also in a great documentary called The Mormon Proposition, which was about Prop 8 mm. and how a lot of that in the United States was funded by the Mormon Church. And there's a particular law in the American Constitution that was kind of bended in that when a religious organization had tax-exempt status, there was a ruling that they were not allowed to donate vast sums of money. To a political organization mm. or party, and the way around that was divine vast. In my own research for the series I've been making, Australian laws are worse.
Really?
Yes, there's no definition.
And were you surprised?
I actually thought America would have more blurred lines and more grey areas. And this all began with a conversation with somebody who worked in the Treasury Department, the Federal Treasury. And the laws in Australia are very undefined.
Wow.
You can have tax exempt status and give as much money as you want to a political party.
I have heard that before. Yeah. I have to say.
Well, it's true. It's actually true. Yeah.
Katie, and speaking of America, so you went and got married in New York.
Yes.
You said. Mm-hmm. Was there at any point that you? I know. I said, had you contemplated waiting before going to over there to get married? Was there a really difficult process to go through to get, you know, Jade's Australian? Mm-hmm. So what was the sort of, just in a nutshell, was it a big process, long process?
No.
No?
Actually, wow. A lot of the decision-making came from the fact that I wanted my family to be present, so that helped us decide that we'd have head over states. But from a, you know, a paperwork perspective or anything like that, no, it was quite simple. We just simply had to go to the city clerk's office. I mean, we had to get to America first and then go to the city clerk's office, register like any normal couple.
Yeah.
And then wait 24 hours and then, yeah, we took our deli ticket number and lined up.
Is that, yep. Is that right?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yes, that's it.
This is a cliche question. Mm-hmm. Did it change how you viewed your relationship?
Somebody asked me that yesterday and I kind of stalled for a bit and they said, I'll take that as a no. It did. If you look at it, you know, from a sarcastic point of view, if we were to end our relationship, well, now we've got a lot of paperwork to do. But it did slightly. But like I mentioned before, there are, you know, some advantages to having this legal document. However, especially in our binational situation, but I don't need somebody to tell me that I'm committed to Jade.
And I was going to touch on that, I suppose, about what does marriage mean to all of us, because it may very well mean other things, and we can come back to that in a second. But I wanted to ask Mark, you've been in a long-term relationship.
I've had two long-term relationships, and I believe we should have equality, but I don't want to get married. And there's numerous reasons for that. It was touching on a quote that you said, Michelle, at the beginning of the program. You said, you don't think about it being married. You've been married so long. Mm. I never thought about being married either. Because I can't. I've never have been able to.
Is that right? So because you couldn't, so therefore you didn't have that thought process?
I didn't have that thought process. And it's only lately that seeing all this has come up, I've been thinking about it. And it actually worries me a little bit about gay culture.
What do you mean?
Well, where we're going with this. Because I see marriage as a very institutionalized, religious and legal situation. Now, in my previous relationship, I was in with, I had an 8-year relationship, and when we split up, it was very amicable, and it was really easy because we had no paperwork. We just we had a house together. We just split the profits of the house. We sold it, or actually, I bought the house from him. And it was really easy to break up. I'm in another relationship, which I've been in for 6 years. And again, after that experience, I don't think I want to be tied into a marriage. And it's just not something for me. I mean, I think it's great for Kate. You know, go and get married if you want to get married. And I can understand it, especially for people. I had a friend who had a partner who came from Ecuador, I think it was, and had all sorts of trouble getting into the country. Now, if he was straight and they got married, they'd be in straight away. So there are positive things to it, but for me, I don't see it as positive. If I had problems with my relationship and it broke down and it wasn't amicable, I could still go under the de facto laws and do go through, if I want to go through the courts or whatever, I still have recourse.
Yeah.
So for me, I think and I worry that it's also, I think we had sort of a freedom in our relationships that that straight people might not have. I'd never had pressure from my parents to get married.
I was going to ask because you've not been able to get married, none of you have had that, when are you going to get married? You've been going out for 3 years. When are you going to get engaged? So you don't have that kind of pressure in a strange way either, do you?
No, not at all.
Have you?
I wouldn't say it's the same kind of pressure. I think as heterosexual parents, when they have children, they instantly assume that their children are going to grow up heterosexual, and so looking forward to the day their child gets married and looking forward to the day their child has children of their own is something that they've already perceived in the future. I think it's important to understand that a lot of us, well, I can't generalize, but a lot of people in my own experience, coming out of the closet was so difficult for me because you instantly change their idea of what's going to be possible for you.
You've actually touched on something that I had forgotten about. When my son is 20, when my son came out and I told people, one of the first reactions from a few people was, you'll never see him get married, or you can't do this, and you won't be able to see him have this celebration. And Stephen and I were at a wedding last year, and I remember standing there being angry and thinking, I know I'm going to get struck down for this, but the bride walking down the aisle, and I was really pissed because I could not have that experience with my son. And it was not till you just said that, Jono, that I've remembered that those are some of the feelings that I've had. So the two feelings, one that somebody, you know, said, you'll never be able to see your son get married now, and that being really angry at this bride, it's not her fault at all, but I can't have that experience as a mum. I can't have that experience either. So
and it's kind of like something that I think, you know, it's a different generational thing, but I think it's something when you gave birth to your son, you probably instantly had flashes forward of the day he gets married, the day he says, I'm going to be a father, the day those things,
you're right.
Because your parents had it with you.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. So we haven't talked much about families, which I want to do when we come back. We're going to have another break and a song, and we're going to talk about how all your families have perhaps thought about things, discussed, whether you've had discussions with them about your feelings about marriage or not even getting married. We'll come back. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
You are listening to Michelle, Mark, Katie, Jono. We're talking about marriage.
Marriage.
And an interesting discussion. We just, as soon as we got off, we went to a song and we were all kind of,
we kept talking, didn't we?
Yeah, and it was a little bit emotional. For what reason? Why? What do you reckon?
Well, I was putting a question to you because we were talking about before about you being a bit angry at the wedding last year, and I said, it's a year down the track now. Have your emotions changed about that, seeing the advances that you have maybe seen in America and with marriage equality?
They've probably changed a little bit. I don't think I get periods of being angry because I just think it's not fair, and to me there's no logic. I don't know if it's me being so simplistic, but I cannot understand how hard it's just not that hard. Just make it happen, and it's really simple. So I don't get as angry in that sense, although that sounds like I am. I certainly don't feel like I used to, that you know, my life is not going to be the same because my son can't get married and all of those cliche things. I don't feel that stuff anymore. And I've heard it said sometimes there's a little element of loss of what you think your life was going to be. I felt that little bit, and I feel very guilty for having had those thoughts because I think that's pretty heartless of me as a mum to have thought that. But I don't feel that anymore. I actually think the opposite. I think the best thing in my life is a gay son, and I've said that many, many, many times. So does that answer your question?
It does, yes. I mean, going on from that, I mean, this can be a question for everyone. I mean, I've got a feeling that marriage equality is inevitable. It's going to happen. And, you know, I think that gives me hope for the future of the country and, you know, but do people agree that we do think it's inevitable? It's going to happen.
Yeah, I think most people actually do agree it will happen.
Yeah.
Touching on sort of what you were saying before about how and what we spoke about off air about how the actual journey towards it, so much has happened in 1 year, I think as it feels like it's getting closer, I think your own personal feelings about marriage start going in these weird and wonderful directions that you never imagined before because it just wasn't an option.
Have you ever been jealous or envious of your family, friends, whoever that can get? Have you been that way?
No. And the reason why is because I always thought marriage put, like, I grew up in Gosford, which is a central coast town in New South Wales, and I see my friends that grew up in Gosford, and they're still in Gosford. They got married. They've never left. Some have travelled overseas a little bit, but I see what I've done with my life and compare it to someone who got married when they're 18 and got stuck there, and I just can't imagine living that life. I mean, I feel my life has been really full. I've had lots of experiences, and yes, I've never had children, which it seems to be like their outlet for their life experiences is about their children. So I don't know. I've never felt jealous.
Have you, Katie?
No, I don't.
And that's a hard one. I suppose I'm trying to get to the heart of it. Did you ever feel that, hey, it's not fair? Why couldn't I?
So I think my perspective comes more from immigration. So when I could see, like you mentioned earlier, you know, a heterosexual couple being able to move from one country to another so easily, when for the longest time it was not possible. I moved to Australia to be with Jade. Because we wanted to be together, but it was not possible in the United States. So it's just in this past July, when DOMA was overturned, that became an option for me. It's not an easy process. You know, there will be a trail of paperwork if we do decide to go to the United States. That's usually the perspective I take, is from an immigration point of view. So in that regard, yes, I would be jealous. Yeah. And bitter.
Yeah. And I think that, and you touched on something off air as well, Jono, when you said that one of your friends in a speech.
Yeah.
She was kind of
She was upset. She felt guilty.
Why, though?
I emceed a really great friend. I've known her since she was 18, and, you know, we're sort of, you know, in our early, mid to late 20s, early 30s now. And I emceed her wedding. I've known her and her now husband, for a long time. And she made a very special point of getting up, thanking me for doing what I did at the wedding, but also she had a lot of tears in her eyes and choked up and made a great point of saying to the entire reception that she thought it was awful that I couldn't have currently the same day that she can, and she hopes that it changes soon. But I have totally, I am not ashamed to say, I have been totes jelly of so many weddings. As an actor and stand-up comic, I've had so many jobs that people wouldn't want. Like, I've been a wedding DJ and I've been at so many weddings and I've been to so many friends' weddings and I've given so many gifts and it's my turn.
Yes, that's the important part.
I went to everyone else's crap wedding, and I ate their dry chicken. And I no, but it's
I know that yeah. But that is also you're not on level playing.
You're not on the level playing field.
Not on the same playing field. And there's got to be. I know we might not want to. It might not be politically correct to say, you know, it's not fair, or I want this, but it isn't fair. Why can't you say that?
I've also recently developed this. I can only call it paranoid cynicism. in that, there's sort of two things recently, because I proposed to my partner on stage at the end of my Midsummer show, and he said yes. And
thank goodness.
He did. You were there. But since then, I've had a lot of people congratulate me. A lot of heterosexual friends congratulate me, and they say, "Oh, it's so beautiful! Congratulations!" And then they kind of make this weird sort of condescending face.
Yeah.
And go, "It'll happen." Mm. But the other thing that I've sort of started realizing is that when it does happen, part of me is a little bit dubious about people's reasons for coming to celebrate your wedding. Part of me kind of goes, I wonder how many people, and I'll never know, inside will be at my wedding with my partner if we actually decide to do it. My wedding with my partner because they're like, I want to go to a gay wedding.
Novelty factor. Yeah. Do you reckon that's what it is?
I don't know.
It could be.
And you never will know.
No, you won't, because they're not going to say, are they? No. We're just going to go for a quick break on Joy 94.9. You are with Michelle, Jono, Katie and Mark, and we're talking marriage and not getting married and why it's important, why it's not important. Wondering, guys, whether you think once it's legalised, what would it mean to the GLBT&I community? And I know that's a big question, but what do you think it would mean?
Who wants to go first?
Well, I think you've seen in New York when it got legalized there how much it meant to that community. And when you see it getting legalized, it is celebrated in the States especially. So it's going to be a big deal.
Why is it a big...
Because it's about equality.
Okay. I know. Yeah, that's right. Katie, you've the thing, I suppose, you've got a different perspective because you are married. Mm-hmm. But the thing that... fascinates me is that you're married in one country, come here, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it doesn't mean anything in Australia, and that makes me angry that you've had to go somewhere else to do it. You come here, it doesn't, you know, it could be New Zealand, New York, wherever. Have you got a different perspective then because you've kind of like the best of both worlds? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Again, I hate to keep touching on this immigration point of view, but that is the driving force. Besides the fact that Jade and I wanted to eventually get married, and we did, it's all coming from an immigration point of view. That's going to make our move to the United States, you know, in the next couple of years, possible.
Yeah. And Jono, how do you...
How do I feel the LGBTIQ community will change or react?
Both.
I think it's, in my own experience, I think our community is so much more diverse than a lot of people give it credit for.
Mm.
And there are so many different variations on relationships already within our community that I'm not entirely sure it will change. I think it's important for a step towards eradicating things like homophobia.
Why do you think that
because
will be...
You can't expect a nation of people to actually say it's not right to be homophobic when you have laws On a federal level, that still condone it. And the last thing is that we'll then have gay divorce, which I think is just
lawyers
as important.
Lawyers are loving that, aren't they?
Yeah.
And reception centres are going to be loving gay marriage, weren't they?
Very much.
So that's a really interesting point, and I hadn't even thought of that other angle, the homophobia angle, because what we're doing is validating their thoughts, I suppose, or their opinions, etc. Would you say?
Yeah.
So, guys, we are nearly out of time, and I've really enjoyed having the three of you in the studio tonight. Don't forget, from 9 p.m. on Hide and Seek, we are having The World and Joy First of 8, the radio play. So please. Do not move your dials from Joy 94.9.
Pop the champagne.
Get a group of friends around. Celebrate, listen, and embrace some amazing work that's been done by some Joy volunteers. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Jono, for joining me tonight.
Thanks, Michelle.
Hopefully we don't have to wait too long. Up next is Joy with the Spirit Lounge. And I'm going to leave you with your weekly challenge, which is: what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You've been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid, and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.